Life hack. What in the world is a life hack? I ask my friends and I ask some neighbors, and they didn't know what life hack was either. So I thought, gosh, if I have to preach on this, I better go to the two people that actually wrote this series. And that was Ben Wyman and Anthony Rogers. And I sat with them and said, I don't know what a life hack is. And as they patiently explained it to me and went online and showed me a video about life hack, I looked at them and thought, how blessed we are to have young staff members who truly love the Lord and who want to make a great impact here at the church. I hope that you will get to know our young clergy and all of our young staff, because they're the future of the church and they can teach you a few things, because they certainly have taught me a lot. So here's what a life hack is. Any process or technique that reduces chaos in one's life and makes it easier to manage. It's something that removes the chaos in your life and makes it easier to manage. They told me, if life hack is too much for you, Anne, think of hints from Heloise. Remember, shake your head if you remember. Okay, hints from Heloise in the newspaper column. Well, you know what? I love that definition, because my life can get very chaotic sometimes. And not only that, along with our scriptures, sometimes I carry some heavy burdens, and I know you do too. My children know that I lead a busy life, and they want things to be more convenient for me. So for Christmas, I received an Instapot, by the way, which was the number one best-selling saving devices on Amazon. On Prime Day, one day, they sold 300,000 Instapots. Who knows how many they sold at Christmas? Well, now, that one device does seven things. It's a pressure cooker, slow cooker, rice cooker, steamer, sauteer, yogurt maker, and it is a warmer. It can prepare dishes up to 70% faster than anything else, and it will help your busy lifestyle. I'm not sure, but it may talk too. I'm grateful for it, but I'm still trying to figure out what to do with my old crock pot and my old rice steamer. And so far, the Instapot hasn't saved me any time, because I haven't had the time to open up the little brochure that came with it to figure out how to work it. And not only that, I've been busy running all over my house, chasing our brand new puppy named Rusty. And I'm using big words like no, potty, no, sit, potty. And my Instapot is sitting on the counter, making me feel so guilty. Did you know that we Americans spend billions of dollars each year on things that are supposed to save us time and energy? And they're going to make us look better and feel better if we just get some of these products. Now, using a life hack actually is something that can help you be very creative. For example, you don't have to go buy one of those strawberry corers. You just take a straw and stick it straight up, and out comes the stem. Or if you're also creative, you put your recipe on a coat hanger like this, and you hang it on the counter, and your recipe is right in front of you. You have not spent a single thing. So life hacks can be very, very good. But advertisers know that we don't want to do that kind of stuff. We want it now. We don't want to wait for those products that are going to come and help us be more beautiful and make us less wrinkled and give us more energy. And they're masters at using tactics to try to get you to buy it. So, one tactic is the scare tactic. If you don't buy this product, something bad's going to happen to you. For example, if you don't buy the right wrinkle cream and get it on, you're going to have a lot of wrinkles. I think we're going to get them anyway. The latest was, and it was on the news, you are not supposed to use bar soap ever again. Because when you use bar soap, you are wiping away, washing away your natural pH of your body. You're supposed to use something delicate and use a shot glass full of lotion every time you shower. If you don't do it, you're in trouble. Something bad will happen. Another one is the promise of happiness. Buy my product, buy my Instapot, and you are going to be happy for a while. And pretty soon you're looking for something new to fill what you had before. That's old. You want something new. And then you have to try to figure out, where am I going to put it? The third one deals with trustworthiness. Advertisers choose just the right person. So whenever you're watching a commercial, you will think they're trustworthy. Look at the Allstate man. There's a tornado going on behind him, and he's sitting in a chair. And you know what? I trust him. He has that look. The fourth one is, I want to become your friend. You can go on Facebook and you can see a product and you can see that your friend has liked that product. And if your friend has liked it, you're more likely to purchase it. Well, those are some of them. There's a lot more. But researchers are saying that stuff is not doing anything to help us. It's not saving us time. It's not saving us energy. It's the opposite. We seem to be more stressed than ever. And we're withdrawing from our friends because of our phones. And not only that, we're taking shorter vacations. And the average person spends at least 5 hours a day on their mobile devices, iPads, computers, or more. That's the minimum. Now, these products are easy to buy. One click and they're there. But what we don't realize is that this is a trick. They're trying to get us to buy more and more to satisfy the holes that we have in our life. But hear this. If you don't get anything else today, hear this. There's no one product or process that can change a life. There's no one product or process that can change a life. Only Jesus can change a life. And he offers a total better way, a life that is more fulfilling, runs deeper, stretches farther. If it doesn't come in fancy packaging, and it doesn't arrive in a 2-day shipping. And there's no need to fill ourselves up with all these fancy things because Jesus is going to offer all of himself to us. The people that Jesus was addressing in our scripture today had a lot of chaos in their life too. They had the brutal Roman rule, and then they had the heavy burden of the law. Every day when they woke up, they had 613 laws that they had to obey. 613. That was such a heavy burden. Not only was it the law of Moses, but they had to obey Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Just look through it and you will get some idea. They wanted to remain faithful. They wanted to be good, but they were totally burdened. They were weary. They were in despair. William Barclay said, "To the Jews, religion was a thing of endless rules. People lived their life in a forest of regulations which dictated every action. They must listen for a voice that forever says, 'Thou shall not.'" But Jesus arrived on the scene at God's appointed time, and he was offering them something very different. He offered them rest from their heavy burdens. And in these two short verses, he is doing something that is called the Great Invitation. I had never heard that before, that those two verses at the end of this chapter are called the Great Invitation. I tried to think, since Life Hack is more modern, of something that you could maybe identify with an invitation, a great one. So I go online, I'm looking at my email, and up pops an invitation right there in front of me. My name is on it. And with a click, I click it, and the flap opens up, and then all of a sudden, up comes the invitation or the words. Well, in this case, it would be Jesus inviting you to come and lay your burdens down. The location, oh, that's wherever you want it to be. It could be right here at communion today. Of course, you have to respond. You either will attend with Jesus, you will not be able to attend. Maybe you're still thinking about it. But here's the deal. We can carry those burdens as long as we want. We have the free will to do that, but Jesus is inviting us to lay them down. There's a modern parable that talks about this. There was a driver of a wagon, and he saw an old man with a big sack on his shoulders, and the man was hunched over. He said, "Get in my wagon. I'll take you to your destination." They kept on going, and the driver looked back. The man was sitting down, but the big sack was still on his shoulders. He had carried it for so long that he did not know how to let go of it. You may have a big sack on your shoulders and not know how to let go of it. But in this great invitation, Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going to carry you. And not only that, I'm going to lighten your load." And he goes one step further and he says, "Hey, let's get this yoke on us together." People in Jesus' day knew exactly what a yoke was. It's a wooden harness-type thing that you put on the animals so that they will do the work. Oxen. When I went to Egypt, you see that all over the place. In Haiti, they still use the yoke. So I've told you this story before, but it's so perfect, about the young man on his grandfather's farm, and granddad was plowing with a little bullock and a giant oxen. And they were working, and he said, "Grandpa, that's not fair. That little bullock is so young, he cannot possibly be doing the work." The grandfather took him up and said, "Look how they're harnessed together. Look at the traces." He said, "The young bullock, there is no weight at all. The oxen, the big, massive oxen, is doing all the work, and the little bullock is just learning that he has a yoke on him." Isn't that just like Jesus? He said, I want to be yoked with you. I want you to be here with me, and I will lift up and do all of the work. I'll pull it. I'll let you rest. You don't have to buy anything or try anything. You don't have to do one thing with this great invitation except click, oh yes, I'm coming. I'm going to lay my burdens down. So remember those advertising gimmicks that I told you about, that where they want you to buy more and more? They don't want you really to try to do these life hacks because they want the money. Well, I think we can learn something from them. First of all, when it comes to being a friend, you're never going to find a better friend than Jesus. That's why we sing during our worship a lot, what a friend we have in Jesus. And not only that, with the choir anthem, I know I have been changed. With Jesus, you will be changed. That burden can come off. In John 15:15, it says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. And for that, I have heard from my Father, I am going to make known to you. You may have earthly friends. They may abandon you, talk bad about you. Jesus will never leave you. And the promise of happiness, advertisers have been promising to make us happy since the 60s, and that promise never, ever loses its power. Jesus does promise happiness, and you can be filled with joy when you follow him, even in some of life's most difficult challenges. He promises that power will always be with you. With Jesus, you will never, ever have to worry about that power going away. It's always there. What Jesus offers cannot be found any place in the world, not on a website, nor any store or any other place. What you get from Jesus is rest and peace and forgiveness, and you can't find eternal life with one click on Amazon. You can only find it with Jesus. And finally, we can actually feel better when we know Jesus. What he offers us can change us, and he is exactly the right person with the right message. I want to say it again. I want you to hear this. There's no one product or process that will change a life. Why not accept Jesus' invitation today to come to him and lay your burdens down? You can do it right there in your seat. You can lay your burdens down right here at the altar. He's strong. He can handle them. He can carry them on his shoulders. We don't need fancy products. We don't need all this stuff to help manage our lives. So instead of filling ourselves up with what advertisers are offering us, why don't we just fill ourselves up with Jesus? And I leave you with this message, these words. May heaven grant that the burden you are carrying may have an easy exit. May heaven grant that the burden you carry may have an easy exit. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the amazing love you have for us and that you are willing to carry our burdens. We don't have to do anything, buy anything, because you're always there. You will be our partner when we are yoked, and you will lift and do all of the weight and give us rest. Father, I pray today that anybody here that's carrying a burden will release it, let it exit. Heaven wants to see that exit, and that their lives will be filled with your love and your joy and your peace. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.